Welcome to the Capital News. I'm your host, Alex Kritis. Today is Monday, May 17th, 2021. Thank you so much for joining me. The title of today's podcast, Gold and Silver About to Shine. This is a question that we are asking. This is something that I am an advocate for. I am an advocate for investing in gold and silver. I do so personally. Again, I don't give investment advice here, but I do tell you what I do or what I would do. And so I do believe that gold and silver are about to shine. We had somewhat of a head fake, I guess you can call it, last summer, where we saw gold hit all-time highs and we saw silver flirting with $30 an ounce, only to reverse course. Silver has been in a consolidation period for the past several months. Gold has been on the downtrend for the past several months, but has recently turned upward. And silver is also breaking out of its consolidation, moving upward as well. We're going to get to market performance, and we will discuss some of those price levels that I have been mentioning over the past couple of podcasts to keep our eyes open for. And we are either there or we have breached them in the day session and overnight as well. So that's something to be mindful of. But gold and silver, in my analysis, in my opinion, are sniffing out a rat, and that rat is inflation. And the other rat that it might be sniffing out is global conflict, perhaps some type of global war, or war in several areas across the globe. And we continue to see an escalation between the Israelis and the Palestinians. There is a concerted effort of international parties to get the parties to the table to agree to a ceasefire, but that does not appear to be the case, and we will go through virtually a live update as to what's taking place with an article here shortly, just to keep the audience up to date, because this is big information. This is important news. And can you imagine what would happen to the price of oil if all hell should break loose in the Middle East? I mean, you want to talk about price pressure. I mean, things are so expensive to begin with. We are already dealing with inflation. We are already dealing with an increase in prices across the board. Can you simply imagine that type of scenario where something goes south and goes so horribly wrong? And it easily can. Let's hope and pray that that is not the case. But you understand what's going on here because we talk about it all the time. And gold and silver markets, they're not to be fooled. Okay? They've been around for a very, very long time. Are they manipulated? Of course they're manipulated. We talk about this all the time as well. But you can only manipulate a market for so long. You can only do it so often. Market forces will prevail. This is not the first rodeo for gold and silver. That's why I believe in the precious metal space. In other commodities. Industrial metals, agricultural goods, you name it. All that stuff that we need and has a track record of success in these types of environments. These are the things that people need. We have a global economy awash in funny money. Because you can create it out of thin air. And that's exactly what has been done. Coast to coast. Four corners of the globe. Record proportions. Makes your head spin. All it does is kicks the can down the road and buy us time and makes things look better than what they actually are. Because it's very, very weak. This is a very, very poor facade. This is a house of cards built on a foundation of sand, and it's just a matter of time before it comes down. It doesn't have to be this way. But this is what politicians and policymakers elect to do. This is what they vote for. This is what we get. Because it's all about political expediency. It's not about longevity. It's not about doing things properly for the benefit of the long term. It's for their short-term political gain. And any damage that is done in the moment is just simply to be blamed on the opposing political party. This has to end because it's only going to get worse from here. I think the writing is clearly on the wall if you just open your eyes and ears and pay attention. That's why I have been asking audience members to leave. the Democrat Party and to leave the Republican Party en masse. Get your friends, your colleagues, your family, everybody that you know, and just try to convince them or turn them on to the Capitol News. And let me try to convince them to leave the two-party system. Become, you know, just call yourself unaffiliated, independent. Join a Libertarian Party. Do something, because they will start to pay attention, and that is a very peaceful revolution, if you will, and it will get their attention. It's a stepping stone. It's a starting point, and you can do so very easily, changing your voter registration, because these two parties have destroyed this country, and they continue to do so, and there's no end in sight. And that's another reason why I believe that gold and silver are about to shine, because there's no end in sight to our budget deficit, which according to the USDebtClock.org has us at about $3.6 trillion right now. Very likely going to be $4 trillion, maybe even north of $4 trillion by the end of the year, because we're not done spending money. And if there should be a larger correction that occurs within the stock market, well, the Federal Reserve's going to panic. Washington, D.C., our politicians are going to panic, and they're going to say, oh, okay, well, we need to do more. The recovery is not well underway. We told you this was going to be rocky. We told you there was going to be volatility. How convenient it fits that narrative, if that's what we should come to see. And they'll say, we need to get together and spend more money. Because at this juncture, it can be argued, and I think even appropriately, that the stock market is a national security issue. Could you imagine if there was a major collapse within the U.S. stock market? What would take place in this country? I mean, this is the last thing that a lot of people have left that they're holding on to, and it's really only half the country. And we know it's the top 10% that holds the vast majority of those assets, but nonetheless, this is what people are looking to. It's a confidence game here. This is a psychological tool for people to look to and say, oh, well, at least the stock market is up, or at least it's close to all-time highs, and it could hit an all-time high within a couple of days here or there. So at least the stock market keeps grinding higher, so apparently everything else underneath is doing A-OK. And of course, nothing could be further from the truth, but that just goes to tell you how powerful the stock market is psychologically. But if that thing were to crash or collapse or what have you, oh, hell could break loose in this country, because then everybody's just going to say, whatever I had left, it's now gone. So that's why the Federal Reserve is trapped, and they know it. That's why I don't believe that the Federal Reserve is going to increase interest rates. Now, the market may have something else to say about that, but not by the Federal Reserve. They're not going to increase the federal funds rate. They're not going to taper their balance sheet. No, it's not going to happen. Because they know perfectly well that if they do so, that the stock market is going to collapse. And we know this to be almost a 100% guarantee, because we saw them do such a thing throughout 2017 and 2018, and it came tumbling down in the fourth quarter of 2018. And they barely did anything. And that's when the Federal Reserve's balance sheet was about like $3.6 trillion. We're now at $7.83 trillion, more than double where we were only a few years ago, a couple of years ago. That's inflation by definition, ladies and gentlemen, an increase in the money supply. And we used to get those monetary updates with respect to M1 and M2 money stock on a weekly basis, but now the Federal Reserve gives us that information on a monthly basis, because they know this whole thing is a joke, they know this whole thing is a scam, and of course, when we do receive those monthly updates to M1 and M2 money stock, they're at all-time record highs as well. And they are just vertical charts. I mean, you want to talk about a rocket ship to the moon or to Mars, look at M1 and M2 money stock. And they changed the definition of M1 earlier this year as well. And we covered that on Capital Economics Presentations, Monetary Measures, Parts 1 and Part 2. You can check those out on thecapitalnews.com or find them on our YouTube channel as well. And I ask that you do so, so you get a better understanding of what we're talking about here and you can actually visualize the data. Okay? And it's gotten worse since that. Okay? Because we make all-time highs on the Federal Reserve's balance sheet almost on a week-by-week basis. Last week, we saw it increase by $20 billion. That's chump change nowadays, $20 billion, but that's what it was. And the Federal Reserve remains committed to quantitative easing, which again is inflation by definition, remains committed to $120 billion per month. And with that money, they're going to purchase U.S. Treasuries and mortgage-backed securities, about $40 billion of mortgage-backed securities. Why? Why both? But why mortgage-backed securities? Housing prices are at all-time highs. What's the concern here? Okay, maybe you had some justification, or at least an argument during the great financial crisis when housing prices were collapsing. Now they're at all-time highs, yet you continue with these nonsensical criminal quantitative easing policies. And of course, finally, Jay Powell, the chair of the Federal Reserve, was asked that question. Why do you continue to engage in quantitative easing with respect to mortgage-backed securities when housing prices are at all-time highs? And he couldn't answer it. This is a basic question. These people are trapped. And in fact, that was the first Capital Economics presentation I did back in 2019. Are central banks trapped? And of course, the answer to that is yes. It was a resounding yes in 2019. It is even more so the case today in 2021, given what they have done. I mean, in that presentation, we looked at the balance sheet of the Federal Reserve, the ECB, the European Central Bank, and the Bank of Japan. Now, if that was to be updated, it would make your head spin. All of it is inflationary. All of it is making its way around the globe. This is why these price increases are not going to stop anytime soon for the goods and services that you need. I am not concerned about the discretionary spending of things that you don't need. Yes, maybe it'd be nice to have this, that, or the other, but you don't need it. I don't care about that crap. Because as far as I'm concerned, the remainder of this decade is going to be survival of the fittest. It's going to be crazy. I hope I'm wrong. But that's what I'm seeing plain as day. There is no leadership, no responsibility, no accountability, and they continue to do what they have done that got us into this mess to begin with. That is insanity by definition. So how can I expect a different outcome? You want to change the script? You want to actually do something different? Then I'll change my mind, and hopefully it'll work to bring peace and prosperity to this planet. But I don't see any signs of that anywhere, unfortunately. It's more chaotic. And I posed the question in a podcast last week, is social unrest contagious? And when we get to that article on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, the answer is yes, it is, because we're now starting to see some global protests taking place with people rallying against Israel. And we'll talk about that here momentarily. Because I told you, these things can be contagious because they can be viewed as inspirational by certain countries. Or, in this instance, you have countries who are upset with what Israel is doing to the Palestinian people, encroaching upon their land, kicking them out, evicting them, doing this, that, and the other. And now, of course, all of the bombing that's taking place and arguments and about human rights violations and this, that, and the other. So this is just getting started. That's why I continuously harp on all of these issues and try to bring them all together, because everything is connected. This is not just a podcast about the financial markets and free market capitalism. You have to bring all of these other elements into the discussion. Otherwise, you're going to be missing out on crucial elements that will guide your analysis to making proper decisions for whatever that might be. Whether it's a financial decision, a business decision, how to vote, when to vote, what issues to pay particular attention to, whether or not you're going to get involved with one social issue after the next. You have to be aware. That's our responsibility as free people. You have to pay attention to what's going on because you have to know what and who you are voting for. Otherwise, you're just going to do a disservice to yourself and to your country. And most people don't realize that, because they just get bogged down in the 24/7 mainstream media news cycle, where they pick one idiotic topic after the next to discuss 24/7. Dr. Seuss is a racist, Mr. Potato Head is a sexist, all this other crap that they put down our throats. And that's what people focus on, and they focus on it because it's on TV. That's it. They don't do any independent thinking. They don't do any critical thinking. And unfortunately, our education system doesn't equip a lot of people to think critically. It teaches them how to think, or excuse me, what to think. It's supposed to teach us how to think. But our education system teaches kids and college students what to think. And that's extremely dangerous. And who's in charge of our education system? Oh, that's right, the government. Gee, I wonder why we're getting what we're getting with those people in charge. So there's a lot of reasons why gold and silver are set to shine, in my opinion. It's still not too late to get on what I think is going to be a long-term bull market run. Because these issues are not going to resolve themselves anytime soon. Even if you were to change the script, even if you were to actually have people at the helm who were going to take responsibility and accountability and actually serve as true righteous and moral leaders the best we could possibly get, they're not going to be able to fix this with a blink of an eye, a flip of a switch. It took us a long time to get into this mess, and it's going to take us a good while to get out of it. And that assumes that we do have people that want to take it on, that do want to be held to account, that do want to take responsibility. Then, like I said, our best days could be ahead of us if we do adopt those types of policies that can get us there. But so long as we continue to do the same crap, we're going to continue to get the same crap. It's not a difficult equation to understand. The other thing that we have to contend with is not only the federal budget deficit, which is in the multi-trillion dollars and no signs of stopping. And again, we still have the U.S. debt clock projecting in the year 2025, only 4 short years from now, that our national debt is going to be north of $50 trillion. You heard me correctly, 50 trillion dollar national debt if we remain on this current pathway. And it could get worse. It could get worse because this is the only thing that these idiots know how to do. That's like an 80% increase in our national debt in 4 short years. That's a presidential election cycle. That's all it is. It's a presidential election term. We're going to add that much more debt. Gold and silver smell it out. They're sniffing it out. Then you look at the trade deficit. Negative number, all-time high, not a good thing. Where is this at now in the first quarter of 2021? $847 billion. Again, deficit, negative number, $847 billion. Largest on record. No end in sight that this is going to reverse course anytime soon here. We are importing much, much more than we are exporting. $847 billion worth. The rest of the world, in aggregate, are producing goods and services. They must be because we're importing them. This is why our economy is a fake. It's a phony. It's a fraud. It's smoke and mirrors. If you want a strong, vibrant recovery and a strong, vibrant economy for the long term, we need to be the ones who are producing the goods and services. That's how it works. We are doing things backwards, and we are paying the price for it, and we are going to pay the price for it dearly in the not-too-distant future. And I want to talk about retail sales as well. I mentioned that yesterday in our markets overnight segment because that was a data point that came out last week. I was off on Friday. That data point came out. So I just want to provide a little bit more color and context on those retail sales figures. We'll get to that momentarily as well. Market performance, we have Japanese first quarter GDP contracts more than estimated. The Japanese economy shrank 1.3% on quarter in the first quarter of 2021 compared with market estimates of a 1.2% decrease. And after a 2.8% growth rate in the previous period. This was the first contraction since the second quarter of 2020 amid a resurgence of COVID-19 cases and slow vaccine rollouts. Of course, you know, if this article here wants to blame that, I guess we can blame that. But, you know, it's much, much more than just blaming it on COVID-19 in a slow vaccine rollout. We understand this. On an annualized basis, the GDP contracted 5.1% in the first quarter, worse than consensus, which was anticipating a decline of 4.6%. So a contraction year over year for the first quarter of 5.1% is a big number. And Japan is the third largest economy on the planet. So this is nothing to sneeze at. So there is no miraculous global recovery afoot. There's a lot of damage out there, folks. It needs to be cleaned up. We're not cleaning it up. We're just throwing more junk on top of the pile and saying, see, it's a bigger pile. It must be better. That's craziness, but that's exactly what we're getting from one policymaker and politician after the next. Forex markets, we have the dollar index overnight here at 90 spot 11, slightly in the red currently. Bitcoin continued to sell off, however, it is bouncing back a little bit, up 4% at $45,200 a share. You know, we continue to get one tweet after the next from a handful of quote-unquote influential people, namely Mr. Elon Musk, and it's amazing how these Bitcoin proponents can never find a bad thing about Bitcoin, no matter what happens. And one of the largest arguments now, because the argument, the narrative is always changing with what Bitcoin actually is, does, and is used for, but one of the biggest arguments now for those advocating for Bitcoin is that it's a store of value. How the hell is it a store of value if one or two idiots can come out and tweet, they can put out a tweet, a handful of words, a couple of sentences, if that, and you can have this market collapse in minutes, where you had Bitcoin trading at $65,000 a coin not too long ago. It's now at $45,000 a coin. You are well into a bear market, a contraction of over 30% right now. I mean, how is that a store of value? Where somebody can come out and move it like that. Is that really where you want to park your money? Is that really where you want to put your money in such an environment? These cryptocurrencies haven't been around. They haven't proven the test of time. Gold and silver have. Commodities have. That's why I'm putting my money there. Now, again, there are some cryptocurrencies where I can have a conversation with you where some of them make sense. Some of them have an actual use case. Now, we're still waiting for some sort of government regulatory clearance and clarification to understand what these things actually are. Are they commodities? Are they currencies? How are they to be traded? You know, are they securities? We need some clarification here. And I imagine that that is going to be coming down from the government in the not too distant future as well, because the criminality that's going on right in our faces with all of this market manipulation is ridiculous. If it was you or I that was doing this, they would have locked us up and thrown away the key already. But somehow, Mr. Elon Musk and a handful of others out there who are notable and influential can get away with it. I mean, there are some people out there today saying, get involved with this cryptocurrency and that one. They're Ponzi schemes. That was even admitted. They might be Ponzi schemes, but hey, if you get in early on the Ponzi scheme, well, then you'll get the returns, quote unquote returns, and you're just going to have to walk away. So you're going to leave the next sucker to deal with the significant losses. What the hell is going on here? I am getting more than upset here. This is ridiculous. So many people are going to get hurt in this process because they don't know what they're doing and they're hoping to get the golden ticket. They want that winning lottery ticket because reality is so grim for them, paycheck to paycheck, and people don't see a lot of opportunity on the horizon. Gee, I wonder why. Let's hope that maybe if I put $500 or $1,000 or a couple thousand dollars that they really can't afford to lose, but hey, I need that lottery ticket. I'm going to put it in one of these things, one of these cryptocurrencies that does absolutely nothing. It's a complete joke, but maybe enough idiots will pile on, the price will skyrocket, and I'll become a millionaire. This is ridiculous. We are turning these markets into a casino. It is going to have a massive psychological impact that is going to affect the millennial generation, Generation Z, for years to come. And that's a true shame, because markets are here to serve the people. It's a way to accumulate and build wealth. You want to go to a casino? They have things called casinos. Go to them. That's not what the marketplace is for. So I worry, maybe I shouldn't, but, you know, I feel bad because I know what's going to happen to the vast majority of people. Are there going to be some outliers and some people are going to walk away millionaires? Yeah, probably. We've already seen that. But that's not going to be most people. Just like most people who buy a big lottery ticket. Yeah, one or two people end up winning the jackpot. Most people lose. All right? No different here. Don't fall for it just because you think it's easy or because somebody that you like on social media is telling you to get involved. Because most of the time, these influencers, they'll tell you to buy, but they don't tell you when to sell. They'll tell you when they buy, but do they tell you when they sell too? Interesting, isn't it? Overnight futures trading, we have the Dow up 0.33%. The S&P 500 is up about 0.25%. The NASDAQ 100 is also in the green, up about 0.33% as well. All sold off during the day session. Cash trade in Japan putting on a strong rally, putting on a gain of 2.2% currently. A mixed bag across the pond in Europe. Nothing major to the downside and nothing major to the upside. Cash trade in Australia putting on a gain of about 0.7%. Chinese stocks are flat. Indian stocks putting on a strong gain of 1% to trade north of 50,000 points. So despite what's going on in India, markets continue to rally. On the commodity front, we have WTI at $66.49 a barrel, Brent at $69.69, again flirting with that 70 handle with all of the turmoil globally, but specifically right now in the Middle East. Again, as I posed at the top of the podcast, can you imagine what will happen to oil prices if there is all-out war or further escalation between Israel, Palestine, and perhaps some neighboring countries as well. Natural gas, $3.12. Gasoline, $2.16. Gold had a nice day, $1,868 an ounce. Silver at $28.47 an ounce. We'll go back and talk about those price levels in a minute. Copper is up at $4.78 a pound. Lumber continued to take a beating, giving back about 15% to trade at $1,327 per 1,000 linear board feet. We've seen these types of drop-offs in lumber before. If you recall, there was one point last year where we saw a one-day sell-off of about 30 to 33%. Okay, so this is a 15% decline. We've seen this type of movement before. And when we saw that 30% decline last year, it rallied back and continued to make all-time highs. We've seen other types of sell-offs of similar magnitude, which got shrugged off, and lumber rallied, made new all-time highs. So is this just going to be rinse-repeat, a big correction, and then it's going to rebound and make new all-time highs? Quite possibly. It quite possibly could, or maybe this is the start of something a little bit more significant. Again, folks, as I always say here, nothing goes straight up, nothing goes straight down. All right, but nonetheless, we still have significant price pressure on new home construction because of the price of lumber and other construction materials. Lumber alone is adding $36,000 to the cost of a new home build. $36,000. Okay, that's how crazy all of this is. We talked about this last week too, with the CPI and the PPI figures, these inflation figures, all right? All of that money you got from Uncle Sam that you thought was a gift, out the window. If you wanted to buy a used car, a new car, you want to buy a house, all your other things are going up. That's how quickly it's gone. People just don't understand this. They thought it was a free gift. I told you last year, free was never so expensive. And you ain't seen nothing yet. So getting back to gold and silver, as I've been stating here, I really want to see gold bust through $1,870 an ounce. We're at $1,868. Okay, so we're flirting with that level. It's resistance. If it can bust through it, I think we're going to make a good run at $1,900 an ounce. And if we can get to $1,900 an ounce and we can stay there, then I think we got room to challenge the all-time high that we saw last summer at about $2,100 an ounce. And if we get there and bust through that level, my goodness, gold could do some pretty wild things to the upside. So it's still not too late to get involved, educate yourself, talk to your financial advisor, see if it's right for you, etc., etc. Lots of ways to play the precious metals, as with anything else. You can have physical gold and silver. You can play the commodity. You can play the mining stocks. You can do that individually. You can do that through ETFs. And then you could look at within those ETFs to see what stocks they're holding. And you could build up your own mini ETF or mini portfolio, if you will, comprised of those gold and silver mining stocks. Get involved in other mining companies for other materials, copper, aluminum, zinc, tin, lithium, anything. These things are going up. Agricultural products and agricultural companies. Okay, there's a lot of ways to play the environment that we are in and the environment we are going to find ourselves in over the next several years, in my opinion. All right, so 1870 is that number I want to see gold bust through. And we could really start making some big moves in gold. And of course, we really want to see where these prices are at the end of the month to get a monthly close above some of these levels. Silver is at $28.50 right now, so up a little bit more just from a few seconds ago. I wanted to see it bust through 28. We are there now. I want to see it hold here. I would love to see a monthly close above 28. And I really want to see it bust through 30. $30 an ounce in the price of silver has been pretty strong resistance for quite a while. But as I stated yesterday, the more times you see something knock on these levels, knocking on the door, you're eventually going to get in. So the more times you knock, the more likely it is you're going to bust through it. So I imagine that's going to be the case here with silver, despite the market manipulation that takes place within these markets. I still think that Mr. Market is a lot bigger than the manipulators. And when they break through and bust down the manipulators, holy moly, we could see some fireworks, again, to the upside. Because that's where they belong. On a fundamental basis, and even silver with its industrial usage, with this quote-unquote green economy, you're going to need silver. You're going to need a whole bunch of these other commodities as well. And if that's where all these governments want to go, by dictate that you have to have so many electric vehicles, that we are getting rid of gasoline vehicles, well, then where are you going to go, folks? I mean, it's almost a no-brainer. If they're going to dictate it, then businesses have to comply. So you can either get on the boat and make some money doing it, or you can wait until the party's well underway, and you're going to be paying a much higher price for the privilege to get involved with it. So prepare yourself. Think about what's coming. Now, it doesn't mean that all makes sense, the quote-unquote green economy. A lot of it doesn't. Because at the top of the list of a lot of these environmentalist concerns are mining companies. Well, come on, give me a break. You're going to need more mining activity to deal with this green economy than maybe ever before. Again, idiots running the show. All right, so that's gold and silver. Pay attention to it. Do your best to get involved with it. Uncle Sam's 10-year junk note, 1.65%. Running a little bit over 30 minutes. I like to keep these podcasts to about that, but I do want to get to that article on Israel and Palestine. And then we'll just save retail sales for another day. No big deal. So again, this is a live update out of Al Jazeera. Israel shells Lebanon as Biden backs Gaza ceasefire. U.S. President expresses support for a ceasefire in third call with Israel's Benjamin Netanyahu since May the 10th. Israel continued its bombardment of the Gaza Strip on Tuesday as Palestinian groups fired rockets towards Israeli cities and diplomatic efforts for a ceasefire intensified. The Israeli military said it also shelled Lebanon in response to 6 failed rocket launches from areas south of the country. Now, it appears that there is some de-escalation involving Lebanon. Okay, so that's a good thing. But nonetheless, Lebanon got shelled, and we know, economically speaking, and politically speaking, and socially speaking, that Lebanon is in collapse. So this is, you know, just what these people need. In Washington, D.C., U.S. President Joe Biden held his third phone conversation with Israeli caretaker Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and expressed his support for a ceasefire, but stopped short of demanding an end to violence that has killed more than 200 people. And the reason that they're noting that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is a caretaker is because that's what he is. Israeli politics has been at a standstill for quite a while. Benjamin Netanyahu is still riddled with some scandal. This is what are we on, the fourth or fifth election in Israel, and there's still no clear-cut winner. So it's everywhere, folks. Political instability is across the board. The White House said Biden encouraged Israel to make every effort to ensure the protection of innocent civilians, and that the two leaders discussed progress in Israel's military operations against Hamas and other terrorist groups in Gaza. The latest escalation between Israel and Hamas, which governs Gaza, is now in its second week and shows no sign of abating. At least 212 Palestinians, including 61 children, have been killed in Gaza since the violence erupted on May the 10th. Some 1,500 Palestinians have been wounded. Israel has reported 10 dead, including two children. And then on to the riots or protests taking place. Here's one such instance. Argentinians protest against Israel's actions in Gaza. Hundreds of demonstrators gathered near the Israeli embassy in Buenos Aires to protest against Israeli attacks on Gaza. The demonstrators held banners that read, "No to the Palestine genocide." That's a pretty harsh statement there. And "Everybody with Palestine." One protester held a sign that said, "Boycott Israel," while another carried a placard that called on the Argentine government to break relations with Israel. Riot police blocked the demonstrators from reaching the Israeli embassy. Far from over, folks. You understand why I talk about this stuff now? All it is common sense and an understanding of history. We got a bunch of dry kindling all over the place. Very small sparks will make it erupt. And it's contagious. The dominoes are set. What don't you understand? Prepare yourself. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.